And hello, it is Thursday evening. It is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. And tonight, again, we have Joshua Zuchter here to talk to us all about, well, you know, really you have a wide range of topics that we're going to look at. We are going to do a call-in show, so we are going to have people, you know, calling in and talking about different things. But, you know, you have a lot of things that you do, Joshua. Welcome again.
Thank you.
And do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of the things that you're looking at and working on right now? And then, you know, maybe we'll open up the lines and have people call in.
Sure. So my work is quite diverse, as you mentioned. So I typically work with a whole slew of different kind of people. I work with entrepreneurs. I work with families. And the topics are varied. So I work with executives. I've worked with pop stars, nurses, teachers,
cool,
opera singers, what are some other, animal communicators. So I've worked with a whole broad range of individuals, and the essence of everything that I share and that I help people with is coming back to energy and understanding more about themselves. Whether they're an entrepreneur or not, everything, I believe everything's a reflection of us. So typically people come to me because they have challenges, but there are others who come to me because they just want to explore themselves more. So we might call that enlightenment principles, learning about energy, learning about laws of attraction. The Secret has been really big over the past year, so I have lots of people who now come to me because they want to learn more about the principles behind The Secret. And so, yeah, that's a lot of what I cover. That whole broad range. I go in from the quote-unquote mystical all the way into the practical.
Right.
And it just depends on the person and where they're at. So we cover topics like working with difficult people, working with colleagues, even difficult colleagues, starting a business, attracting clients. And there's a whole range of other things we talk about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess you put this all under the umbrella of life coach.
Yeah, life coach, business coach. I had someone call me a synchronicity coach, mm-hmm. and that was quite fitting, but most people don't. Listeners to this show know the word synchronicity, but mainstream isn't familiar quite yet with the
Not
word
yet.
Synchronicity. So they don't know what that means, or they wonder what that is. So I've adopted life coach and business coach.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And through your work, you're also, I mean, you use your intuition just as much as you use your logic and any other type of way that you would proceed with counseling people.
Actually, it's true. I've forgotten that part.
Really?
I know. That's a whole other part of my work. So I teach people how to access their innate abilities of their intuitive abilities, their psychic abilities. And so that's a part of, I actually even have a home study program now so people can download it from my website. It's kind of fun. And they can be involved in, it's a 3-part telecourse. And so I recorded this 4.5 hours
wow.
long, and they can now do it from home. And on top of that, they
get an audio or a video?
Audio.
Cool.
And on top of that, they get a 30-minute complimentary session with me. And it's a method that I use and that I've used that has helped me. I call it core journaling.
Right.
It's a method of writing whereby you ask questions a certain way and then you channel the answers, basically. And so it's extremely potent, and I'd say it's what has helped me to get to where I am today, for sure.
Really?
Yeah, whenever I've had a challenge, I will use this method. I can clear the issue within a matter of minutes. So now, that didn't happen 16 years ago when I started. It took me a bit of time to get to that, but that's what happens now, so.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I think we might have our first caller.
All right.
And unfortunately, that went off the air. So if you want to call back, we're here.
So how does it work? They call in.
They call in, and then I have to switch it over. But so far, we haven't quite gotten there. But we will.
Great. Some of the programs that I have coming up include, Matt, you asked me that question. I forgot.
Yeah.
Manifestation Project. I'll talk more about that as we go.
Sure.
And let me see. got a whole slew of projects. I've got like 18 major projects on the go, and all of them are coming to fruition over the next year. So the Manifestation Project is taking place more than likely August 1st. It's 30 minutes a day for 30 days, wow, starting August 1st. And we will spend that 30 minutes feeling fantastic and exploring wealth, prosperity, and money. And it's based on a technique that I've been teaching for a few years. My challenge came, you know, way back in, you know, 2003, when I was eating. I think I told the story before. I was eating, you know, I had no wealth. I had no, you know, I think my bank account said $2.38. And at that time I had, you know, no clients. I was in debt, $55,000. And I was evicted. I was on the verge of bankruptcy. And so I reached what I might call a still point, or my darkest moment. And something in me opened up and I had a shift. And within the next 3 weeks, everything turned around. So I was able to avoid bankruptcy. I did move, of course. But I didn't have to keep eating peanut butter and jam sandwiches every day for lunch and dinner. And I was able, and all of a sudden clients came and I was able to start helping people more. And then I was able to eliminate half my debt within a matter of about 5 months, 6 months. And so that was how that happened. And so in that time, this technique came to me and I was practicing this technique, and that's how I believe everything was shifting. So it's a 3 to 5 minute technique. And so, and I've even helped clients with it and taught them how to use it, and they have profound experiences with it. You can apply it to anything. This 30 minutes a day for 30 days, this first Manifestation Project, also I'm calling it the Manifestation Experiment, is we're going to focus and do that exercise. Instead of doing it for 3 to 5 minutes, we're going to do it for about 30 minutes. And so it's so powerful, even in 3 to 5 minutes a day, that 30 minutes a day is going to, me, be even more profound. So it's only $10 to do this for a month. It is a bit of a commitment. Typically the times in the evenings will be about 7:30 to 8 p.m. Monday to Thursday. Friday will be a little bit earlier, because a lot of people want to do other things on Friday evening. Saturdays and Sundays will be about 10 to 10:30. And you can find out about it by going to my website and signing up for my newsletter. And then in that, I'll notify everyone how to register for this.
Wow. Sounds like it would be pretty powerful. Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
Although I keep thinking that the summer, I hope it works for you, because it's like summer, people, you know, the last thing they're thinking, well, no, everybody's thinking about wealth. Absolutely. But vacation and weekends, and that's a big commitment.
It's true. You know, there's several, many ways to look at it. One of the nice things about it is it's teleconference. So you can be anywhere and call in as long as you have a phone. So that frees up some people. And ideally the times work. You don't have to attend every single night and day. Hopefully you can. The idea is that I want to inspire you to attract, to bring in your friends to do this, so that you're in a group of people supported, all focusing on this topic for 30 days. And so even if you can't make one night or two nights or three nights at that time, you can do it another part of that day with your friends or family. And so that's the idea behind it.
Yeah, that's very good.
I spoke with someone, one of my clients. She is becoming a financial coach. She's actually a financial advisor. And she's lovely. And so I was guided yesterday to call her today and invite her to actually speak in this 30 days, to spend a bit of time talking about how many of her clients create wealth and talking about their mentality. And she, although she's a financial advisor, she's a spiritual financial advisor.
So, which is probably pretty rare.
That's why I was so excited to meet her. And, and I'm so grateful. She's, you know, she's a client of mine now. And so she will be sharing some of her wisdom, and she really comes at it from both perspectives, from the practical as to, you know, these, this is the way that you look at investments and what you need to do. And this is the energy behind it and the spiritual aspect. So she brings it in together, which I'll be covering that as well, but she's going to be able to bring in the other part that I don't have experience with, which is the, you know, the really practical, sound financial investment strategies and so on. So,
That's cool. And so when you talk about developing your intuitive abilities, you use it mostly through the approach that you do through writing?
Yeah, typically the core journaling method is one that allows you to ask a question, and then assuming you're not confusing the answer for your ego or for the mind.
And how do you tell people to get out of their mind or tell the difference between the ego and...
And pure information. Well, this is one of the neat side effects of core journaling, is that as you're writing, your hand cannot keep up with your mind, because our thoughts run really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of the reasons why writing is so therapeutic. Your mind goes so fast when you are writing, and this is why I recommend doing this with a pen, not a pencil, and not with a keyboard. It's all with a pen.
A lot of people say that. I don't quite understand why they say it, but...
Yeah, and it's typically because when you're writing, your hand cannot keep up with your mind. So your mind naturally slows down to accommodate your writing. And as that happens, your thoughts tend to get wider apart, and then you slip into the gap in that space between thoughts. And so as you're writing, you learn how to tune into those gaps, just with awareness. And then you can call it in anytime. So pretty neat.
Very neat.
I recommend a pen because a pencil is too slow and can be too frustrating. A keyboard, a lot of people can type really quickly.
Right.
So it works against you.
I see.
We want your mind to slow down naturally, not to keep, you know, fast.
I'm just looking at your list of things that you are able to discuss tonight. Enlightenment principles. That's intriguing.
Yeah. When I work with clients, typically what happens is someone will ask me a question. They have a challenge with something. They'll ask me a question about it. And then typically in that moment, if their question is extremely specific, I will get an extremely specific response for them that will involve a protocol, steps 1 through 10, on what they can do to shift their experience. And so I've worked with golfers. I don't golf.
Right.
Okay. So it can be on any topic. I was working with a client for a while. He's an opera singer. I really enjoyed working with him. And I'm not an opera singer, although that would be really cool.
Yeah.
I'm not an opera singer. And so I tapped in with him, and I could offer guidance on what was going on in his throat, what was going on with him mentally and emotionally that was causing him to not sing as purely as he wanted to. And so that's a combination of the intuitive connection. The more we open up, the more we connect with our intuitive self.
Right.
And so part of that means we eliminate our shields, you know, the protective mechanisms we have. In order to do that, we have to dive into ourselves, explore ourselves. As we release those fears and emotional blockages, the protective layer that we have starts opening and dissolving. And that allows us to then almost connect more with others more fluidly, because there's no shielding between us. And so that's, I'd say, why I'm able to do what I do, because I've done a lot of work on myself and I've explored myself a great deal. So the part about the intuitive side is that there's been I forget the name of the book, but there's a book that talks about a holographic universe
or the
mind. It might be the title.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really I'd never read it. but just the name, I knew what it was right away. And that's exactly how it is. So the moment someone asks a question, it's almost like it taps into the hologram, and then it comes right back out with a response. So the more if the question is really general, there's a general response. If there's a specific question, there's a specific response that comes back. And so I even have...
And that's from the core journaling?
That's with everything. With my coaching and with the core journaling. With core journaling, the more...
Core journaling's for yourself.
Yes.
And the other intuition that you work with when you're dealing with your clients is... You're obviously not core journaling for them. You're using your own intuition.
You got it. Okay. Although with the core journaling program, when they purchase that audio home study program, they receive a bonus, like a complimentary 30 minutes with me. And we will both journal together. And then while we're both, so they're journaling at home on their end, I'm journaling at my office, and I'm journaling their questions with them. And as they do that, I tap in with them and I help them to become aware of when it's intuitive and when it's not. And so really all we need is to know when it is and when it's not. And when you know it is, you remember that, and then forevermore you know when it's intuitive and when it's not.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, the big thing as being an intuitive myself, when it becomes something personal that you have an attachment to.
Yeah.
And that's really the most difficult time to, you know, to use your own intuition on, because you're attached. Now, obviously, the whole idea with becoming present and in the now is that you are not attached to the outcome, and that you can let go of the areas that you're feeling the need to have the knowledge about. But it is a very difficult process to just detach from. Now, I've had a situation where, you know, recently, and, you know, I'm starting to get to that place where I have started to detach a wee bit from it, which has been much healthier. But then there are the moments that, you know, where the attachment comes back and you're thinking, oh no, haven't I just dealt with that?
And
so, you know, it is a process that one has to go through, and it is a difficult one to work on. And I don't know, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't even know, you know, when I do my intuition, and I don't use core journaling, but, you know, the way I do it, it's still, if I have an attachment to it, it's, you know, very difficult to come from that pure place.
Absolutely. We could say the side effects or the benefits of core journaling, one of the reasons why I recommend it over meditation or chanting even, is because when you're writing, you will take moments where you'll look at what you're writing and look at it and observe it. It gives you a snapshot of where your mindset is. As a result of doing that, you shift into an awareness perspective.
Right.
And you are actually, when you're journaling, when you're at, see, the key is when you're asking a question, there's an attachment. But the moment you then let go and finish the question, you are shifting into an openness and receptivity to the response. Mm. And so that's one of the cool parts about core journaling, is the more you do it, the more you're practicing the art of letting go and becoming non-attached. It's very similar to the Abraham material, where they say there's three laws, law of attraction, deliberate law of creation, and law of allowing. The first one is you ask for something. In this situation, you're asking a question. The deliberate law of creation is, that's up to the universe. You don't have to do anything for that. And it's the same with the answer. The answer just comes. The third part is law of allowing. And with this situation, it's you actually tap in to the response. So you're asking the question, the answer has come, and now it's hovering, waiting for you to tap into it. That's where people get caught. But as they continue to journal and they continue to experience that experience of writing a question, letting go, they're actually practicing the whole art of manifestation in core journaling itself. And so it's not uncommon when people are journaling on a specific topic to release a whole lot of emotions and attachments and to experience spontaneous manifestation after they're done, or within a day or 2 days.
And do you find that, I mean, usually the purpose of meditation or chanting would be to get you in the now and to be very present and not to be focused in the past or worrying about the future or projecting into the future. Do you find that the core journaling assists people to get into the now?
Absolutely. And it really, what most people don't realize is that chanting, overtoning, meditation, all the various types of meditation, journaling, writing, everything has a specific purpose to it. And so there are some people that are just doing meditation because they hear meditation, think they should do it. But for some people, it's actually not effective. For someone who goes to meditate, they get overwhelmed with their thoughts. And then they say, oh, forget it, I can't meditate. And then they just give up. For them, especially, core journaling is very effective because their mind naturally slows down. Meditation, the authentic origins of meditation was meant the way it's taught by many people is not really the authentic way to meditate.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of meditation is to let your mind become void, or to slip into a void or a no thought space, or what we might call consciousness or openness or whatever we want to call it. And typically when you're trying to silence your mind, you're actually going against the exact principle of what the original authentic meditation was meant to be. The meditation that I teach is to lie down or sit, whatever you wish, and then just let your mind wander. Don't try to stop it. Don't try to still it. Just let it be. Let it do what it's doing. And by doing that consistently every day, let's say, or a few times a week, or even a few times a day, you only need to do it for 10 to 20 minutes a day. And as you do that, you let your mind wander, you are allowing it to do what it's doing, and it will naturally reach a still point. But it's when everyone tries to stop their mind or change their mind or control it, that actually works completely against the whole process.
Mm-hmm.
So I have clients who, when they learn how to meditate this way, they experience the void very quickly and easily.
Hmm. And then is that recommended before you do the core journaling?
Yeah, it can help. I have had people who started doing that, and that was very effective for them. Others will core journal and then meditate.
Okay.
Because the core journaling brings their mind to a slower point, and then they can meditate really effortlessly.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. So did we really follow up with the enlightenment principles?
No, let's get back to that. Thanks for keeping me on track.
Okay.
the stream took me there. Okay.
Yes.
So in terms of the enlightenment principles, while I would be having coaching sessions and someone would ask me a question, I would get 1 to 10 protocol, but in that I might get an understanding of something, an understanding of a concept or theory or principle that I would refer to as an enlightenment principle, because it helps people to discover more of who they are, expand, release, and experience the next level of who they are. And so I would get diagrams.
Hmm.
So I have all these diagrams. I have 14 diagrams that I'm turning into a program, another really neat program. This is fantastic. I haven't told anyone about this, so you're all the first to hear. And you won't hear, I'm not going to tell you all about it.
But
these 14 diagrams I'm turning into something really fantastic. And it's probably years away, to be honest.
Okay.
But this will be quite something. And so, yes, I wish I could tell you more, but I would give the whole thing away. We can't do that.
But they're diagrams that you have come up with by giving them these 10 protocols.
Absolutely. And so what I do is I now teach these in my coaching work.
Okay.
So I do share the diagrams.
Okay.
And they're really simple, but they really explain any teachings that have ever, any ancient teachings. I can show them through this diagram. And I typically teach these diagrams. All my clients refer, you know, they dream of these diagrams because they do them so often. And if any of you are listening now, you're probably hopefully laughing to yourself knowing which diagrams I'm talking about. One is a center of the universe diagram, and there's an A to B diagram. There's all these different diagrams. So fortunately, I have a very strong visual gift. And so not only do I hear the concept, but I can see it and project it in a way that people will get it just through a picture.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's cool stuff.
It is cool.
Yeah.
What if you're not visual?
That's okay. You know, it's funny. I find I haven't met one person who wasn't visual. I met one person. I had a client who said she wasn't visual.
Right.
And she said, I can't see anything you're saying. And then I tricked her. And it turned out she was seeing everything, but just didn't realize that's what she was doing.
I see.
So I believe we all have a visual gift.
The ability, yeah.
Sometimes to create the visual gift, to consciously, deliberately visualize something is challenging. But typically when I'm explaining something, I find I haven't had one person who couldn't do that.
It's like, don't see a pink elephant.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we just naturally flow there.
Right. You know? No, so, it's true. Yeah, even if it's a distorted version, it's still it may be a feeling,
right?
Like for me, that's how I intuit through feelings.
Yes.
So don't see a pink elephant, you know, I may not
necessarily, I mean, I can now because I've developed my intuition to a point where I am actually able to visualize. But if somebody were to say, what do you see? That's when I kind of, you know, it's like, well, what I feel is this.
Right.
And from that feeling, I can get symbols, I can get things, you know, I may have something that, you know, may mean something to them and means absolutely nothing to me. Right. But typically, my dominant sense would be to feel.
Feel, yeah.
But I could certainly, if somebody were to say visualize or don't look, don't see this, you know, I'm going to see it. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's the way everybody is.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So, and I actually spoke with someone recently who her hearing gift is opening, and most people aren't aware of what this means. The hearing gift is one where, you know, when you hear someone speak
well,
the truth.
Well, I think this might be a call.
So oh, okay. Sure.
Hello, you're on Intuitive Soul Radio.
Do you have a question for Joshua? Hello? Or not? Mm.
They're sending it intuitively. Yeah.
Okay.
And that brings up a good point.
You know, everybody keeps calling, and that's interesting.
Wait, it's interesting because I find that, yeah, I saw myself, I had video recorded one of my seminars once, and I was watching it and thinking, I can't believe they're getting anything I'm talking about. So I'm watching myself sharing this information, speaking to this group, and I thought, I can't understand me right now. How on earth are they getting anything? And I realized how much we transfer information without even necessarily words. So I realized too that when I'm coaching someone, they're getting the information, and even those that are not visual, they get it. And in Chinese philosophy, they call that energy transmissions. It's common for Qigong masters to transfer some of their energy to their students. And so I find I do that. People get me, and I may not have said anything. So,
right.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, very
and
cool, yes.
That's actually one of the neat effects of intuitive abilities is that the more we are able to tap in, the more we're also able to transfer. And what I learned through my teacher was it takes a clear sender and a clear receiver. So I can be really clear in sending, but if the person is not clear in receiving, if they're not receptive, they won't get it.
Right.
And so that's also significant when it comes to this kind of work.
Yeah, definitely.
And typically, yeah, typically my clients are open, you know, they're really open to this stuff. So we have a great time communicating intuitively, subconsciously, and consciously. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Maybe I can suggest something too. I don't know if we have access to emails right now, but
we do.
Whoever is calling in, if they're having troubles, perhaps they can email their question and then we could read it off.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Which would be Lori at Intuitive Soul Radio or intuitivesoul.com.
Nice. That's, is that LAU?
LAURIE.
Okay.
At intuitivesoul.com.
Nice.
We have a bunch of people that have been logging in, that's for sure.
Hmm, great. Yeah.
Thinking that they have to join my, you don't have to join my website to actually listen to the program. However, I do appreciate it.
You can unsubscribe later.
No, don't do that.
I mean, you can't unsubscribe later.
So what would you like to talk about now? We could talk a little bit about maybe attracting clients.
Yeah, sure. And attraction itself. I mean, I hadn't actually seen The Secret until recently.
Really?
Yeah, I felt the movie. I knew what it was like and what it was about. So I typically didn't need. That's kind of another benefit of intuition. Some of my clients would laugh at this too, is that I don't actually need to see a movie and I can tell whether I'm going to enjoy it or not or whether I'm going to connect with it.
Oh,
and
I
typically
always do.
You do that same?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can hear the name of it or I can see a picture of it or I just sense it. And that's enough, and I know right away whether it's for me or not. And so, so when it comes to The Secret, I teach this stuff, I live it, it's my whole life. So, I wasn't as excited about watching it because it's, you know, I could be one of the people on The Secret and sharing this. So,
I think I saw it 2 years ago.
So. Oh, really? Yeah, when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, And
before it came out, it was, you had to be invited to
the secret exhibition of the secret, yes. Right? The secret viewing.
Yes, secret viewing of the secret. Yes.
So I saw it just last week, and it was very good. I'm glad I saw it, and I definitely am glad that it came out. Most of the callers or listeners to this show have been studying these kinds of this material for a while. So to see the secret to them is not as significant as to someone who's not familiar with energy or spirit. So for them, it's quite a profound film.
Definitely.
And so it's really nice that they, that it came out, and grateful to Esther and Jerry Hicks and Abraham for inspiring that. So,
Yes, I'm not sure that it was really them, but they certainly are the key players and have been around for a very, very long time, and always been the communicators of that particular law for a long time.
Absolutely.
I mean, because I remember, doing classes through their, their tapes 15 years ago.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not sure it helped me that much, but.
Right. Well, it's one thing to hear it and get it. It's another to practice it.
Well,
that's actually one of the other things I found is that I actually was watching this with a class that I was teaching, and half of them had seen it, half hadn't. And many of them were a little bit frustrated with it because they felt like it wasn't deep enough. And it
The secret.
And it focused a lot on material.
Absolutely.
Stuff. And the interesting part is that I found that in the beginning, but as they get to the very end, all of a sudden they bring it in the spiritual, the more pure heart essence stuff near the end. And I understand why they're doing it. It makes sense. But one of the things that I noticed is that a few of the speakers had talked about, they use the example of a genie. Rub a bottle, and all of a sudden the genie shows up and says, "What do you desire? I'm here to give to you whatever you want." And as far as I'm concerned, that's exactly how the universe works. That's been my experience, 100%, without a doubt. And there's a whole slew of things that are involved in that process. So there's not just the asking the genie for wealth and $1 million and this. There's so much to that. And that's why I think a few people had been a bit frustrated because the masses are saying, well, I'm asking for $1 million. I want to win the lottery. And why didn't I win it today? And so there's much more to that whole experience. And for some people, it takes a lifetime to master the art of being able to ask for what you want and have it come to you instantly like that. In fact, there are gurus in India who that's all they do. That's all they've done their entire lives is master the art of manifestation I even met a woman who had gone to India, and she had met a guru there, a true authentic guru.
With quotation marks.
Yeah, yes. You can't see me doing that. I'm waving my fingers here. And basically he had her hold her hand out in front, close her hand and open her hand, and a rosebud appeared in her hand. So to us here, that's impossible. We've never experienced that. We're open to the fact that it could happen, but we've not experienced that level of manifestation there, because they've spent a long time harnessing that whole, all the steps between me asking the genie and it showing up. They can do that now. And I believe we can too. It's just a matter of whether we tap into how that works.
Just so you know, you really don't want a genie in a bottle.
That can be true too.
Because, those genies were not actually genies. They were demons that were actually put into the bottle to get rid of them. So really, honestly, if you find a bottle, please don't rub it. Please right. Don't rub it. Just let it go. Put it away. You do not want to let that demon out. That's why that be careful what you ask for comes out, because they weren't actually really, really happy about granting those wishes. And so they wouldn't really give them to you exactly the way you asked for them. But, that's where that whole thing came from. So,
right. Well, and then there's another part to that, and that is your involvement in the creation of what you want. So when you watch a movie like that, it says, well, you just ask the universe around you, and you just sit back and relax and hang out, and it will show itself to you. And that can happen. Absolutely. I've experienced it myself. but it's more rare. It's mm-hmm. more uncommon.
It also has to do with how much attachment you have to Absolutely. What you're asking for.
Oh, yeah. There's a whole slew of factors.
Yeah.
So
that aren't really talked about.
That's right. That's right. That might be the secret too. Or the second secret, or the sequel to the secret. But the idea is that we are very much a part of creation. And so it's important that we realize that you're as much a part of the creation of what you're wanting as the universe around you. I had a beautiful quote that came to me once, and the quote was, and this is a very simple reflection of what the universe and God represents, and that is manifestation is simply a matter of reflection.
Right.
And so the universe reflects back to us in great detail exactly what we are giving off. And so that's why the key always comes from within us, and us internally, you know, choosing our energy deliberately. Even the act of choosing your energy is enough to manifest. It's a strong, if you just sit back and say, okay, universe, I'm a victim to you. You are stronger than I am, more powerful than I am. I will just give it to you to create for me. And I'm going to hang out here and pray every day. And it doesn't show. And we question why. Mm-hmm. And that's because the universe is saying, come on, wake up. You are a part of us. Let's work on this together. So sometimes bending the spoon is not just about you holding it in front of your hand, on your hand in front of you, and saying bend spoon, or spoon bend, or bent spoon, whatever you, however you yeah. choose to do it. It means you literally just bend the darn spoon if that's what you need to do. So that's the, you know, the magic is that you're also a part of the manifestation.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people don't keep in mind. So you look at any of the most successful, the wealthiest in the world, many of them don't even know about law of attraction. They practice it out of default.
Mm-hmm.
They've never spent time learning about the secret or any of that. They have been taking massive action. While they're moving along their journey, taking massive action, because they're taking massive action, they're giving off massive energy. And that massive energy is then attracting massive energy back to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's really significant for all of us to step into ourselves, to take charge of our own lives. And as we do, we then experience massive shifts in our world. And the universe goes into massive action on your behalf as well. That's the beauty about the law of attraction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, I think, you know, with a lot of successful business people, and especially if they're open to that energy, a lot of them probably, you know, read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill
Absolutely.
Or something, you know, that was, you know, before it was called the law of attraction, and before,
right.
you know, even understanding how that can work. But certainly that, you know, the older manuals that are out there,
yeah.
that, you know, have really dealt with some of these principles in a different way, but certainly, and a lot of them on wealth, because
absolutely
this is a very physical world that, you know, power and wealth and is really what we have recognized as a symbol of power.
It's true. And money and wealth is the one thing that exists besides the air that we breathe, which is more unconscious, besides water, and besides food and our environment, that connects almost everyone in the world. And so the idea of value or worth or money or prosperity touches every single person in the world. There is not one person it does not touch. Even the aboriginals or those that are in, let's say often villages that have no contact with anyone else, secluded communities, they still have some kind of concept of wealth or manifestation or large amounts of owning something or having things. So it touches everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the beautiful things about money specifically is that it's a great way to learn about how manifestation works. It's so much better for someone to have financial troubles than for them to have health troubles. Because you can learn about how this is one of the benefits I found for me when I was going through my challenges. I was so grateful after that I experienced my challenge with money and not with my health,
mm-hmm.
because I could learn about how energy works through my challenge with money instead of with my health.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
the
quite
worst,
a blessing.
I think, with health is when someone's in pain, because
yeah.
that's when you know, that's the one area when dealing with the law of attraction is really, really challenging, because right. if you're in physical pain, it is hard not to think of that physical pain.
Absolutely. We're so attached to our physical bodies.
Well, it's just, you know, if something's actually causing pain, mm-hmm. to not think about that pain takes an extraordinarily strong mind.
Absolutely.
And so that's why I always recommend, you know, get the medication that mm-hmm. will actually take away the pain. And but then there are times where there are some pains that the medications don't help. And so yep. that's when they're really at a challenge to identify what this spiritual crisis is, because mm-hmm. you know it, if it's got to be pretty deep
and
pretty big if that's what you're experiencing.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always, early on in my work, I had a really neat realization, and that is that you can look at someone who has great health, great relationships, great romance, but a problem in another area.
Oh, yeah.
So how is it that they have the problem in that one area, everything else is doing pretty well? And that typically comes from our beliefs and how we grew up.
Yeah.
So, you know, if John Smith grew up in a family where they were really secure financially, they had really strong relationships, or they had a lot of relationships, but his health is terrible. And so typically that comes from what we grew up with and our beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a way, having the challenge is actually a blessing, because it guides us into, it's like a light that's flashing, saying this is the area that you will learn about yourself through.
Mm-hmm.
And then either the person has enough energy and spirit in them to dive into it and explore it, or they check out.
Right. No, and yes. And
then they
and
come
I think
back.
Right now, the biggest area that a lot of women experience is they're already independent. So they may not have incredible wealth, but they have wealth because they're independent.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of women are getting their own houses and,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're very independent. They've got their wealth, they've got their career, they're having problems in relationships. And I think
right.
this is a really big time right now for women, and obviously must be men as well. I'm thinking there must be the other side there
yeah.
that has to, right? I mean, unfortunately, there's this huge dating thing that's
yes.
happening. And so men don't have to commit because they get addicted to the date.
Right.
And, you know, if once it gets to a certain place, then they can go on. And that's not just for men. Women are there too.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, you know, it's very interesting to watch this phenomena that's happening on the world, because mm-hmm. there's never been a time where there's been so many single women
mm-hmm.
between the ages of, you know, 30 to 50.
Oh, yeah.
Ever in history. Ever.
Right.
I mean, it's the energy of the planet is shifting.
Mm-hmm.
The goddess energy is definitely, you know, anchored on the planet right now.
Yep.
And so we're redefining what relationships are supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
We're being very indecisive as to what we want. We don't know, because it's never, you know, we don't want the old paradigm, but we don't know what the new paradigm looks like either.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very challenging, I think, in relationships. And I think, you know, it's funny because I don't think I've ever had a problem, you know, getting a relationship. But, you know, I don't know what, you know, there are so many women that do, like
mm-hmm.
that's their issue, that they're looking for, you know, whether it's a soulmate, which I don't really believe in, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, that life partner that has to do with your soul group, per se, if you'd like to put it that way.
Yeah.
I don't think there's ever just one person. Certainly the alignment aspect has a lot to do with it. But there are a lot of women that, you know, are struggling there.
There's also something to the times that we're in right now.
Ah, yeah.
And so not only is there an issue overall around, and it's now spreading into other countries that normally didn't have these issues. So even in China, in India,
mm-hmm.
women are becoming stronger
mm-hmm.
and they're no longer put down. And they're claiming,
not accepting it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so they're claiming their power more. And as a result, even those countries, it's shifting. And that hasn't happened in
ever.
Maybe ever.
Yeah.
As far as we know, maybe it was ancient times it happened. But so the other side, though, is the times that we're experiencing. And when individuals are looking to discover more of who they are, sometimes it's better that you're on your own and doing it, because being in a relationship puts it way too close to you. It brings it to your right in your face, and it makes it almost too difficult to explore yourself when someone's right in your face. So
there's no better mirror than having it right in your face.
There isn't, but there's another mirror, and that is core journaling. There is meditation. There is you exploring it yourself without having someone always.
That's such a male response versus a female.
No, I'm saying this for both men and women. I'm saying it for both men and women. There is no difference. What I'm saying is that people are not in relationships because their relationships are too close to them. And so they need the time away from the relationship or from a relationship so they can explore themselves and come to clarity in themselves so they can then come to a relationship that may be the next level. And then they can start going through challenge together and exploring it together. But if they can't handle challenge on their own, they'll either start relying on their partner to support them and then they're done, they're cooked. Because now they don't have enough, they don't feel or have the experience that they can explore it themselves. And so they rely on their partner, and that's not going to help them. I think the times that we're in, so many people, if we look at what's going on, The Secret came out. You've got Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth on Oprah. I mean, Oprah herself, she's bringing so many of these things into mass
consciousness
that many people are starting to explore what spirituality really means to them. And sometimes the best way to do that is in more solitude. And that means not being in a relationship. And I think so we could look at our world and say, oh no, why are people not in relationships? At the same time, we can look at it and say, you know what, maybe it's a healthy thing. Maybe it's a defensive mechanism, protective mechanism that's giving them their own space to begin to explore who they are so that in 10 years from now or 5 years from now, they can then start to explore a relationship from a clearer perspective so that there's not as much challenge or as much as severe challenge exploring a relationship together. And that's what I've felt has been taking place. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I agree with that, but I certainly, and you know, some of the examples I have are pretty huge in that, you know, there are women that are in their 40s and 50s that have never been in a relationship. And so, you know, and always wanting, you know, that need to be in, but then, you know, meet somebody and, you know, very quickly. So the independent woman, you know, meets somebody very quickly, determines whether it's somebody they want to be with. And, you know, if they show a fault, then it's that's no good. And then they, you know, and then so they choose to stay alone. I think honestly, this is a time where, relationships are very key to our growth.
Well, the interesting part is at this point, it's the romance that's not there. And so there's a difference between a romantic relationship and a friendship relationship. And so it's possible that perhaps the reason why you don't have a lot of couples, there's a lot of separations, is because it doesn't mean that that eliminates learning from each other, but it removes the lust and the romantic side. And as a result, allows you to explore a deeper connection. I can't tell you a lot of my clients are women. And I'm grateful. I love women. They tend to be really open and effervescent and dynamic and creative. I love every single female I'm working with. I have a few male clients. They're amazing too. But I've had a few of my female clients, and even those who have read my newsletters, I had one woman who said to me, Josh, the way you are has opened my views of men, because I never thought there was a male like you that existed that was so open to this. That's a really nice, you know, that's a compliment, but that's how she felt. And it can cause a lot of weird experiences, because all of a sudden, a female client, someone I'm working with, is having a loving, unconditionally loving, open connection with a male that they may have never had before. And all of a sudden it can be confused for romance. It can be confused for a lot of things. So that's why I say, I think this is a time in our evolution when we look at the whole world and see how things are changing, and who knows what's going to happen in the next, 4 years. And so, So I believe that it's allowing everyone to come to some kind of clarity within themselves so they can then start approaching a romantic relationship from a clearer perspective. And I mean, you look back in the 60s, and a lot of that's my parents and so on, got into relationships because they needed, it was the thing to do. Their parents got married at age 20. Mm-hmm. So it was for them to get married at age 20. They finished school, they went to work, married, had kids. So there wasn't a lot of conscious, deliberate intent with the marriage. Mm-mm. And many of the women at that time had lived at home, and men as well, and they had never even lived on their own.
Right.
So they had no
parental home.
Exactly. So they didn't even have a sense of who they were truly, and they went right from living with their parents to living together. They never had time to explore themselves. And so, of course, unless you have a truly intimate, unconditional, soul flame relationship, if that exists, if you have someone who's so aligned and unconditionally loving, that relationship won't stay, because both won't be able to last through the two exploring who they are together at the same time. Because you're going to have your own emotions come up, you're going to have your own negativity come up. And if you're with someone who can't handle that in themselves, they're not going to be able to handle that in you either. And then you had all these men who couldn't handle it. So what happens? All the men become passive. And as a result, the women felt like, well, he's not involved in our relationship. And so then they also said, well, I want to be with someone who's involved, who's engaged. I mean, I would agree. And so then you had this polarization. And then that's, you know, where it all, I think, threw all this, and why now there's all these divorces. And I think it's very good for many of those people, because now they're becoming more deliberate and conscious with their choices. Whereas when they first got together, they weren't. It wasn't from a true heart-centered, what I mean? Yeah. It wasn't from a true heart-centered place. It was more from a mental, he crashed the party, and, you know, we met and we had a fun conversation and we got together and that was it. And then 20 years later, neither of them had explored spirituality, and now they're starting to, and it's opening parts of them that they didn't even know existed. And that can bring up a lot of turmoil. And if both of them is going through that, it would be very difficult for them to stay together, because there's too much turbulence going on in both worlds. It's like when you drop a pebble in a pond, it's good if you drop one, but if you drop two at the same time, you see the ripples, you know, clashing, going against each other. And that's exactly what happens when you have two people who come together who aren't clear in themselves. That happened for me in a relationship. I was going through questioning myself. She wasn't sure about herself. Crash, bang, you know. Our relationship it wasn't stable enough to hold both of us in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Who needs a cigarette? I don't smoke. I'm just teasing. But
well, okay. I'm going to... maybe move on back to what the original question was, which was about attracting clients.
Thank you. Yes. So attracting clients is much like being in a relationship. No. So a good question. So let's address that. So the art of attracting clients is the art of attracting anything. And so the best thing to do, what I like to do, is always say, if someone is having trouble attracting clients, or if someone wants to attract clients, we need to start with how you look at yourself. So if you can imagine, you've got, and everyone, we're all going to draw my favorite. Here's our first diagram.
Oh, we got
we're all going to draw. So everyone who's listening, grab a pen and paper. And if you're listening to the recording of this, then pause and grab your pen. And all my clients who are listening, hopefully you're laughing at this. And I'm going to ask you to grab your pen too. And so just draw a dot on your page. And then I want you to draw an oval around that dot and another oval around that oval. And this is what I call my this one day will be famous, I think. I don't know. I one day it's got to be. I'll create a poster on it. And I call this the center of the universe diagram. And so you've got the dot in the center, and you've got two ovals. You've got an oval around the circle or around the dot, and you've got another oval around that oval. Now draw a second dot anywhere in that diagram, a third dot anywhere in that diagram, a fourth dot, a dot, and a fifth dot. And so this is a representation of who we are.
Okay.
This is the basic, very first diagram. And you are always the center.
Right.
You are the center of your universe. You can tell your spouse that. You can tell your family that. You are the center of the universe. You can tell your employer that. Well, maybe not. Well, yeah, give it a shot. See what happens. And then all these dots that we drew essentially represent people, clients, objects, opportunities.
Now, do they have to be in the outside circle? Is that what you're saying?
They could be anywhere. Anywhere okay. in that diagram.
Okay.
Yep. And represents your finances. There's a dot that would represent your health. There's a dot that would represent your friend or friends. There's a dot that would represent your pets even. There's a dot that would represent someone you dislike intensely. And all of these, what I normally do is I ask you to draw a short line through each of them. And that line represents a mirror. And that mirror is of you. In other words, everything you see in your world is a direct reflection of you somehow. We could list off all the people you admire. And most people indicate the Dalai Lama or someone you look up to. The Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa, and Gandhi. Those are the top three most well-known.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I ask them to list off all their qualities. So let's do it live. So let's describe, we may not have had direct experiences with them, but let's describe what we think they're like. The Dalai Lama, how would you describe Dalai Lama? Positive qualities.
Well, he giggles, which I think is just adorable.
Okay. Light.
Well, he embraces present moment and he is very alive.
Alive. Good one. That's right. So I have written down light and alive. Open.
Sure.
What's another characteristic?
Very cute.
Cute.
Terribly, terribly cute.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Warm, absolutely. Oh, I got a good one. Compassionate.
Well, you got to hope that he's compassionate.
Got to be there. That's got to be. What's another one? One more quality of the Dalai Lama. I got one.
Okay.
Authentic.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely authentic.
You know, the thing with the Dalai Lama, which a lot of people talk about is, you know, he doesn't have to say anything. I mean, he has a very limited vocabulary, especially in English, and he really doesn't have to say anything, but everybody gets him.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they all feel him.
Mm. It's lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go through this list for a second.
Okay.
I'm going to ask you this question. Now, I came up with some of these words, but I think you'd agree with all of them.
Yes.
Is that right? Okay. So whatever words you have on your list at home, let's go through these one by one. And I'm going to ask you this question. The first one, light. Have you ever been light?
Have I ever been light?
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely. You ever been alive?
Yes.
You ever been open?
Yes.
You ever been cute?
Oh,
I'll answer that all the time. Have you ever been warm?
Yes.
Absolutely. Have you ever been compassionate?
Yes.
Have you ever been authentic?
Yes.
Absolutely. So you are seeing a reflection of you.
Right.
And this is really the most basic of all of any enlightenment principles that exist, is that you are seeing you. That's the beginning point. Now, the next part is we then tend to go into this part. We ask, who's someone you don't like? And I call it the George Bush technique. And it goes over very well. Everyone's able to list off all these incredibly poor, nasty qualities of George Bush. George, you're going to love me for this one if you're listening or if you listen
to
this one day.
I'm sure he is, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure he is too.
Yes.
And so we list off all of the qualities. Manipulative.
Controlling.
Yeah, controlling. Silly or dumb are common ones that people use. And now here's the crappy part.
Is that they're also a mirror.
Is that crap. Those are also a mirror. And that's the hardest part for people to get, is that you're not just the good stuff. You're also the things that you're seeing that are not so good. But the key is that as you begin to embrace, so this is the next level.
Shadow.
As you embrace the shadow, as you embrace your shadow, you start embracing other people's shadows. And so if you ever find someone, if you have a dot in your universe that represents someone you're having a challenge with or trouble with, And typically that refers to family. Most common are parents and kids, but also the most common is a spouse or romantic partner. Those are typically numero uno when it comes to the ones that we have greatest challenges with. And that is because they are so... Imagine you're right in the center and you draw a dot that's directly right next to you. Right up close. And you draw a short line through that, and that dot is the closest one to you in your whole universe. Typically, that's how close our partners get to us. And so that's why most challenges happen in relationships, because they're so close to us. The mirror is right up in our face, and we have to look at our own qualities in that mirror.
Right.
And so, again, that goes back to why I said sometimes it's more effective to just exit a relationship temporarily to give yourself a bit of a break from having to look so closely at yourself.
Right. But we do have a question here. That's
I love it. Beautiful.
We are also at the end, but that's okay. We can go a little over. So how specific do you have to be with the law of attraction, and how do you channel what you want? I keep attracting men who seem right in the moment and ultimately don't treat everyone with respect, which is really important to me. So trigger being respect. Mm-hmm. I've made a list of things that I want in a partner, but being too specific always just makes me feel like I'm asking for too much, the impossible. And this is Caitlin.
Beautiful, Caitlin. Caitlin, thank you for the question. The first thing is I want to mention it's fantastic that you made a list and that you're focusing. There is an element of learning how focused you need to be and how not focused or unfocused you need to be. And it's like a microscope. You can zoom in and zoom out. Or like a telescope, you can zoom in and zoom out. And so it's always up to you to determine how close in you want to go. The key thing that you need to ask yourself is, in my heart of hearts, in my soul of souls, what is the minimum? What is it that I truly want for me? What would I truly need to experience in someone? I almost can guarantee everyone who's listening and everyone in the world wants someone who's authentic, someone who's honest, someone who's respectful. And we can go on and list, you know, 50 qualities that represent what almost everyone in the world wants. Does the person have to have blue eyes, brown eyes? Is that something your heart of hearts, your soul really needs to have? Probably not. And so you want to determine what, that's step one, is determining what you really desire in your heart of hearts. And the beautiful part about that is that when you're asking, what do I really want? You are now starting to tap in to your deeper self. And that is one of the reasons that I do recommend writing out lists, because it helps you to start tapping into a deeper part of you. Now, once you've started to do that and you're thinking, okay, am I too specific? Am I not? You want to include things that inspire you. I mean, I wrote a list. I created a page and a half, Verdana font 10. Okay. And it was a page and a half, and I was very clear, but I would see a movie and I would hear this gentleman say, he would describe this woman in his life and he'd say, she just dazzled me. And I thought, oh yeah, I want to be with someone who dazzles me. I love that idea. So I would include that in my list. So sometimes you'll hear from other people ideas, and again, you want to see if it resonates with your soul, with the deepest part of you. And so that's step one. Step two, and this is a big one, is to say, am I giving off a vibration? Am I living a vibration that would attract this sort of person into my life? So, for example, I want someone who is healthy. Well, typically, people that are healthy are attracted to healthy people. So the question is, are you healthy yourself? A lot of males would write very specific measurements in a female of what they want. And the thing is, what they're looking for is a really healthy woman in their life. And I think that's great. The thing is, are you also healthy? So do you reflect the qualities that you're asking for? So that's really important. It's not just you running down and saying, okay, universe, this is what I want. Send it to me now. It's you also saying, I'm also going to take charge of me and live these qualities myself. Remember, law of attraction states that like unto itself is drawn. As you give off a vibe, you attract something that supports that. So you want to, if you really are looking for authentic energy in someone, it means be authentic yourself. And you will attract that kind of person to you. And I forget the rest of the question. There was a lot to that question.
There was a lot to that question. I would also say, I keep attracting men who seem right in the moment and ultimately don't treat everyone with respect.
Okay. So I'm going to add two components.
Uh-huh.
One is, it's one thing to write a list and then attract someone and say, okay, let me grab my list and I check off and see if he's every single thing on my list. And now you're in judgment. Now you're not going with your heart, you're going with your head.
And I would also say that, you know, typically when I see something like this,
mm-hmm.
specifically, you know, ultimately don't treat everyone with respect. Typically to me, that means it's a trigger, that
right.
something that you experienced through your parents, that you then have repeated a pattern, which obviously it is a pattern because it seems
keeps
to be,
happening.
Keeps happening.
Right.
So it's also something that you have to heal within you and understand and be aware.
Well, this is where the diagram the comes in.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the so now you, Katie, is it Caitlin?
Caitlin.
So Caitlin, you draw the diagram, you draw you in the center, you draw another dot, and you represent that other dot represents these guys that keep being not respectful, maybe of others or of you. And so then what you need to do is look in the center and say, what vibe am I giving off to attract someone who's like that? And typically that energy is, if you're finding someone, this is where the beauty of this diagram comes in. If you're finding, now you said other people, they don't respect other people, but you didn't mention they don't respect you. So I'm just going to take that into account and assume they're also maybe not respecting you as you would like.
Treat everyone with respect.
Treat everyone.
It's really important.
Okay. So what I would ask is, do you treat yourself with respect? Are you respecting yourself? Because it's likely if you're attracting someone who's not respecting you, that's a reflection that you're not respecting you. And so that's where the diagram comes in. Because
mm-hmm.
you can say, well, I find he's not respecting me. Well, what does that reflect about me? Okay. And then the key question is, how am I not respecting myself? Now, there's one more factor. There's another level to this. We're going pretty deep and into a lot of things here, but you can listen to this recording again. And that is, I'm attracting an issue in the area of respect. I lost my track of thought there, actually. I was so excited about this second layer that I was so focused. So the idea is that, let me talk through this to see if I can get this back. So, and it's gone. In one ear, or in through the soul and out through the ear, I guess that's how it goes. It was so good too, Caitlin. I think you would have really liked the insight.
So if you have an issue with respect and it is possibly yourself that is mirroring the fact that you don't respect yourself, there could also be a layer of this is something you learned, behavior learned as a child.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Whew. Good job. And so it is that we typically have issues with not respecting ourselves. So sometimes what happens is we feel that you read in a book says you should respect yourself. And then you say, I need to respect myself more. And then I need to respect myself more. And then we have an issue about respect. And then we attract other people into our lives that are mirroring just the issue of respect. So the key here is, and this may sound really backwards and odd and counterinstinctive, but are you comfortable or at peace with not being respected? Hmm. In other words, if someone is not respecting you, can you embrace them even if they're not respecting you? Can you love them unconditionally even if they're not respecting you? See, it's a whole other level to mm-hmm. it. So not only is it, are you respecting yourself, but it's, can you allow them to do whatever they do? It's an interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a much deeper level. So you can see this is what we'd go through in coaching.
Right. And so, okay, so we have this diagram and we have the mirrors and we have the shadows. Mm-hmm. And so initially we were talking about attracting clients, but if we were talking about attracting a life partner or a partner, how do we bridge that then? So we're looking at the qualities that are within ourselves, mm-hmm. because that is who we're going to come into alignment with, because that's how we attract people. Mm-hmm. We attract by what we radiate out and what we focus on. So if that's the case, and we know that we have our shadow sides and we know that we have our positive as well, how does that assist us to attracting a partner or attracting clients?
We make peace with the dark side.
You sound like Darth Vader.
That's right. Actually, I think it's more Yoda. Darth Vader would say, come to the dark side. I say, make peace with the dark side. Luke, make peace with the dark side. So I don't believe I just did that. Can we delete this? I don't know. Everyone heard it already. But the thing is that the key is to say, can I be okay with this part of me? Can I allow myself to be silly sometimes? Can I allow myself to be conditional sometimes? Can I allow myself to be angry sometimes? Because if we can't, we're going to resist it in ourselves and we're going to resist it in other people. There's no way around it. And so, I mean, there are, you know, psychologists and therapists that teach you to, they come up with ways to change your behavior so that you can maybe accept someone more by looking at their better qualities. But that will only last for the short run. Eventually, the crappy qualities that you're resisting deep inside are going to surface eventually. And then you're going to have to confront it. And so it always comes down to that. So when it comes to attracting a romantic partner, I would always say it's to dive in and embrace those parts of you that you're not embracing. Embrace those parts of them. Forgiveness is a big one as well. That's for a whole other 1 hour call. So that's one part. The next part is you want to feel really good about relationships. And I mean, most people, when we think about relationships, our first thoughts are typically to cringe. And we remember all the relationships that never worked. Or when we think about, I want a romantic relationship, typically if I say, well, take a moment, and what words come to mind and what thoughts come to mind when you think of attracting a romantic partner? If we go deep enough, we'll find that many of the vibrations that are coming up are ones of, I had a crappy relationship and I never want to experience that again. I went through this challenge or this trauma or this person hurt me. And so we're wanting to create something different, but we're trying to actually get away from that thing that we had experienced before, and you can't get away from it. You've got to make peace with it first.
You have to appreciate
all. Appreciate it, absolutely. And so then this goes back into you diving into those parts of you that you may not like so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had a client who we started working together. She'd been crying every day for 2 months because her boyfriend broke up with her and she couldn't get over it. And there was another diagram. that'll be for another show. But the idea is that we use this diagram and realize that all their attention, and everyone watch this, look at your diagram. The attention had gone to everywhere but the center. Uh-huh. And what happens is, well, here, we'll talk about another portion. Draw a circle around one of the other dots. This is just a nice visual, quick, easy visual. Draw a circle and draw a line connected to it. Makes it look like a lollipop. Well, this is actually a magnifying glass. And what's happening is you're looking through a magnifying glass at someone else. You're not in the picture. And this is where we give away our power. We're not included in this image.
Right.
And as a result, people feel powerless. And this girl for two, you know, almost, well, in our first session, she kept talking about this guy. That was all her time was spent talking about him. And that's because she'd given all her power away to him, or what the energy representing him. And all we did was, I said, well, let's bring your attention back to you. And as we did that, she started to feel better.
Right.
And then we were able to break the attachment to him. And then she could look at him from a clearer perspective, from a more powerful place. And then she realized, you know, that they just weren't a match. And she was able to let it go.
Hmm. Yeah. How quickly did you do that?
One session.
Very nice.
Yep. These diagrams are really helpful.
Very good. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I hate to do this, but I think we should probably wrap it up since we're over a wee bit. But good show.
My goodness. I can't believe time flies sometimes.
It does fly. Yeah. It does. So, Joshua, give people information on how they can get a hold of you.
Sure. A few things. Number one is you can go to my website, which is www.joshuazuchter.com, which is JOSHUAZUCHTER.com. You can email me. My email is on my website, but you can email me. It's info@joshuazuchter.com. You can also, I'll give you my, I have a new 1-800 number. I can't remember what it is. So I'll give you my local number. It's 416-388-1135. And I recommend that you, if you're open to this, you sign up for my newsletter. It's weekly updates. And I often provide kind of neat, insightful and inspirational information and wisdom that comes to me in my newsletter. And I also, of course, it promotes when my workshops are coming up, and it also talks about this manifestation project coming up. So you need to subscribe to that. And all you need to do is go to the, on my main page, there's a box in the bottom left-hand corner, enter your first name, the email you want the emails to go to, click subscribe. You get an email sent to you, click yes, and then you're subscribed.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, what a great show. And this is actually the last show. Well, actually, I have one more show on Tuesday, but this is the last Thursday night show.
Oh, wow.
Until September. So we'll have you back in the fall at some point.
Oh, I'd love to. Great.
And all right. So this is it for Intuitive Soul Radio until the fall. So take care and we'll talk soon.